Well, good morning. All of the song selections this morning and the prayers have been very appropriate for what we're going to share together here a little bit. Now, to start off, though, on a serious note, there was a song in 1979 that hit some of the tops of the charts, and it's experienced kind of a renaissance just within the last few years and become quite popular once again with a younger generation. And here's some of the lyrics from that song. Season ticket on a one-way ride, ain't nothing that I'd rather do. Going down, party time, my friends are going to be there too. No stop signs, speed limit, nobody's going to slow me down. Hey Satan, paying my dues, look at me. I'm on the way to the promised land. I'm on the highway to hell. Now, there's been more than one time in my life when I have nearly totally ruined my life. And it's because each time I was caught up in some sort of sin. And whenever I've been caught up in sin, and I've decided that I am enjoying this sin too much, I want to continue enjoying this sin a bit longer, I end up putting an eggshell around my sin because I need to tell myself I'm in control of this thing. It's not in control of me. And I got to tell myself that it's not hurting anybody else. So it's okay if I keep on down this road. But eventually, by God's mercy, I get to kind of the end of the road. I hit a rock bottom of sorts. And whenever that happens, that eggshell doesn't prove to be very helpful any longer. Now, despite my hitting rock bottom several times in life, I still have problems, it seems, learning the lesson that God is trying to teach me. But each time I get to those rock bottom places, it's an opportunity for me, an opportunity to decide, am I going to seek to change the things that have brought me to this place, or am I going to just continue to persist? And if I continue to persist, well, then I've got to know I'm going to end up with broken relationships all around me. Perhaps a broken marriage at times it's been, a broken family, and a broken life, my own life. And so when we hit these rock bottom times, there are opportunities for us to decide which way are we going to go? Are we going to try to keep going further down the road we're on? Or are we going to realize that God is the road that we need to get back onto? And what I've realized when I've been in these places is that I need God more than I've ever needed him before. And I need him in a new way. I don't need his love. I don't need his forgiveness to give me his salvation on the other side of eternity. What I need in those moments, in those times, what I need is his profound transformation of my life on this side of eternity. And one thing that I have to realize in these places is that if I try to blame God for where I'm at, well, then God cannot be the solution for where I'm at. If I blame God for my problems, then God can't be the solution to my problems. On Thursday nights, we've been sharing, about 18 or so of us have been gathering over in the lounge for something called the Reframe Course. And through this course, one of the lessons that have been emphasized for us is that God is as interested, he's at least as interested in our walking with him on this side of eternity as he is in our walking with him on the other side of eternity. And he wants to be the solution to our problems on this side of eternity. It's just like, if you think with me, to the prodigal of the, or this parable of the prodigal son. The son had left home and hits rock bottom. But the father was waiting for the son at home. And as soon as he sees the son out in the distance, the father wastes no time to rush out to the son, to embrace him, and the father becomes the solution to his son's problems. And the father, in fact, is a better solution to the son's problems than the son ever imagined that his daddy could be. When I've allowed God to be the solution to my problems, and when those around me whom I've hurt have forgiven me, it's not an invitation, though, for me to introduce my rubbish back into those relationships. When we enter the other side of eternity, we're not going to take our rubbish with us into the new heavens and the new earth. And the prodigal son, when he came back and the father embraced him, that was not an opportunity for the son to bring his rubbish with him to his father's home. But when God allows us to hit rock bottom, it is a true gift. Because when our eggshells crack open and there's a mess all over the place and our life is splattered all over, it's our opportunity to admit some things to ourselves, that the rubbish that got us to that point is not really worth holding on to. And that if we did choose, though, to persist in our rubbish, then we may actually avoid ever getting back home and getting back to the Father. Now, the scripture that's been assigned for us this morning that was read for us earlier by Judith is from Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome. And let's read in a slightly different translation some of these verses. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Just as the father never forced the prodigal son which choice to make in his life, and he never forced the son to make a right decision, he never forced the son to come back home, God doesn't force us Christians to make right choices either. He doesn't force us which decision to make. He doesn't force us to come back home. God gives us all the power. God gives us all of the prerogative in our relationship with him and in our relationship with others. He allows us to choose whether we're going to live according to the flesh or whether we're going to live according to the Holy Spirit. It's like C.S. Lewis wrote, "There are only two kinds of people in the end, those who say to God, 'Thy will be done,' and those to whom God says in the end, 'Thy will be done.'" If we choose him, however, if we choose God, well, then he makes some profound promises to us in this short passage in Romans. He says that we can be led by his Holy Spirit. And he says that he will be our solution to put our fleshly desires to death. Now let's look at the rest of the verses that Judith read for us earlier. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Let me just turn to a passage in Jesus' parable in Luke chapter 15 and read that for us here, so it's fresh in our minds what Jesus said. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' Well, when the prodigal son returned home and his father did what he did, the father didn't make his son a slave or a hired servant like the son thought his dad was going to do to him. But in fact, he elevated the son to at least as high a position as he had before he ever left home, if not higher. The father became the solution, a better solution than the son could have ever imagined to his problems. And we have the same kind of father, a father who can empower us Christians to deny the flesh that's brought us to the breaking point, and one whom we can cry out to, Abba, Father, and the one to whom we can be a child and we can be and allow him to be our father. Now, we can do all these things only because of what Jesus did for us. It says of Jesus, and Jesus said in Mark chapter 14, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. And Jesus cried out, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will." Because Jesus drank the cup of the punishment that resulted from all of our fleshly desires, because he drank that cup, we can be restored to being the Father's child. Now let's just focus here at the close for a minute on the Trinity. All three persons of the Trinity are cheering us on. They're cheering us on this way. The Holy Spirit is eager to lead us. And the Father is eager to hear us cry out, Abba, Father. And Christ is eager to share his glorious inheritance with us. All three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have the same desire. The same desire that they've always had for us. Because they're the same God. Our one triune God. And their desire is for us to choose. To choose to want to be his sons and daughters. So we can say today that God is looking for his children. The Holy Spirit is looking for some children who want to be led by him. The Father is looking for some children who will cry out to him, Abba, Father, The Son is looking for some children who want to share in his glorious inheritance. And so the question for us is, do we want to be his child?